Okay, good morning, and if you have your Bibles, let's go to Matthew chapter 13 and resume our studies here. I'm going to push forward into the place I've been trying to push forward to for the past 2 months. We never seem to get there. The Lord's had some different things that he's been showing us for the past couple months, which has been important. So I'm going to read again verse 33 of the 13th chapter of Matthew. So it says, another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till what? The whole was leavened. Now remember, the kingdom of heaven is the kingdom of God. If we have the presence of God, we have the presence of the king. Okay, he's the king. So what do we have? We have the presence of the kingdom. And, you know, I mentioned this last week. Don't get caught up in other preachers' nonsense when they start talking about kingdom law and this and that and the other thing that you have to learn before you get to the kingdom of God so you can be accepted into the kingdom. That's just as bad as saying that we need to look within ourselves prior to taking the communion cup and the communion bread. Okay? There's no need for inflection when taking the communion or looking to our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, there's inflection at the time of salvation where we understand ourselves to be sinners, and that Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, was buried, and rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and in him we have life, and that because of the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that cleanses us from all sin. But then we rest in that, okay? We rest in it. We don't go back to the law and put ourselves back under law, because if we put ourselves back under law, we're going to find ourselves in the same position that we found ourselves prior to the law, self-condemned, okay? Only the difference is if we put ourselves back under law as believers in Jesus Christ, howdy, Jeff. Sit anywhere you want. You're not disturbing us. If you put yourself back under law as a believer in Jesus Christ, you're not condemned by God. Okay, your sins are under the blood. You're self-condemned, though. And why do you want to put yourself in a position of being self-condemned when you're not cursed? You're blessed. Okay, that's where we stand. So this nonsense about looking into yourself to see if you're worthy of taking of the cup or worthy of eating of the bread is nonsense. The communion is all about remembrance of our Lord Jesus Christ who died for our sins according to the scriptures, okay? The kingdom of God is the same way. We are eligible members of the kingdom of heaven based upon the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that cleanses us from all sin. The end, all right? And so, he says here, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Leaven speaks of sin and false doctrine, okay? The meal is you and me, okay? Now, as we are in the world, we're going to experience three types of leaven. And our Lord, in Matthew chapter 16, let's turn there, tells us about the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of the Sadducees. All right. Okay, verse 1 of the 16th chapter of Matthew. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees, and the Pharisees, as we mentioned last week and the week prior to that, are kind of the fundamentalists of Judaism. And the Sadducees are kind of like the modernists. They like the trappings of religious service, the look, the dress, the notoriety, that kind of thing, but they don't believe any of the fundamentals. Okay, and I always wonder, you know, what the heck were these guys doing even calling themselves Jews in the first place? They liked all the outward look of Judaism, the respect, you know, the garb, the temple, all these things, but they did not believe any of the fundamentals of Judaism, okay? And so, you know, this is important because our Lord's going to give us the three types of leaven that are in the world, and they are likened to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, okay, as we read over in 1 John, all right? Now, the lust of the flesh, what is the lust of the natural flesh? That I can make myself fit for God's presence by the life that I live, right? Okay? The Pharisees were very much that way. They believed by their own moral goodness and their interpretation of the law through the Talmud, which is the arguments, okay? The Talmud is literally arguments by famous rabbis about the meaning of the law. But I go back to the law and I read it and it's quite plain, is it not? Yes, it's quite plain, okay? So you go back to the law and you read it. What does the law do? As we read over in Galatians, the law is what? A schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified how? by the only means by which we can be justified. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we're justified by faith and faith alone. Faith in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. Okay, so the Pharisees were very much outwardly righteous, or at least that's how they presented themselves. The Sadducees were very much interested in the lust of the eyes, okay, that which was pleasing to the eye. And the Herodians were very much interested in the pride of life, or that they can manipulate their environment around them politically to bring about conditions likened unto the kingdom of heaven. All right? So we read here in verse 1, the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting, desiring him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, now, why were the Jews continually asking for a sign? Because an evil and adulterous generation doeth what? Seeketh after a sign. But our Lord said, no sign shall be given it, but the sign of what? Or who? The sign of the prophet Jonah. As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. He's the only pertinent sign to the nation. Okay? All other signs were for naught, because have you ever seen anybody that was saved by signs? Was a single person saved because our Lord gave them some sign, or a prophet in the Old Testament gave some sign and somebody was saved by it? No. Faith comes by what? By hearing, and hearing by the word of God concerning who? Jesus Christ and his person and work, the gospel. Okay, the good news of the Son of Man that came as the Savior of men. Okay, and so that's why he's the only sign that's effective. So in verse 2, he answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye shall say it is fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. We say it this way, fair skies in the morning, sailor's warning. Fair skies at night, sailor's delight. Okay, so that means that if you have fair skies in the morning, it's going to be storming by the afternoon. So find a safe harbor. If you have fair skies at night, it's going to be a clear day the next day. Okay, so that's how that goes. All right. He says, O ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the sign of the times? A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he left them and departed. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. And then Jesus said unto them, take ye heed and beware of the leaven. Now, what does leaven represent? Sin and false doctrine. Okay. In this instance, our Lord's referencing the doctrine, okay, of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So he says, beware of the leaven of the Sadducees and of the, of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Now, the scripture says, whatsoever is not of faith is what? Sin. Of course, the new covenant relationship is our sins and iniquities. Will he remember against us, no more? If I can get my tongue out of the way of my teeth. All right. So if leaven is sin, false doctrine is sin because it's not of faith. All right. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven. Now he's referencing the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, is it because we have taken no bread? Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Now, this is an evidence of a spiritual youngling here. Okay? You got to remember, the disciples of our Lord, and up to and including the apostles, were not necessarily yet trained in the deep things of the Lord. They understood who the Lord Jesus Christ was. He was the Messiah. He was their Lord Savior. Okay? But our Lord's training them in the things of the gospel, and he uses shadows and types to do it, that the Spirit of God might be the interpreter. Okay? And so, you know, when we're young in the Lord, I know this goes contrary to the way a lot of theologians put it, but is a new believer in Jesus Christ more carnal or more spiritual? They're more carnal, because what do they know? Well, all they know is that once they were lost, now they're found. Once they were blind, now they can see. They've been enlightened. They trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. They can now see who their God is. Okay, but do they know anything else? No, that's all they know. They need to be taught. This is why it's such a shame. And I know that we're in the dragnet era, and that portion of scripture is in the 13th chapter of Matthew, and we're going to get to that in 22 weeks. Maybe sooner. And in the dragnet era, or the dragnet age, our Lord describes it as a great net being cast into the sea to drag in or pull in of every kind. A dragnet is literally a net drug behind boats, okay? Or a corral of net that they, you know, two boats bring around and drag and then cinch up at the bottom and pull in all the fish that are within the net. Now, is there any discretion when it comes to fishing that way? No, you drag in of every kind. So he says at the end of the age, it'll be up to the angels to separate the good fish from the bad fish, or the believers in Jesus Christ from the unbelievers. But all of those are within the church. It's a dragnet within the church age, okay? So in the mega church era, and we're definitely in the mega church era, and we are no mega church, I was mentioning that this morning, our Lord's always had a very small faithful remnant in the world. So I don't care what age it has been, it's always been a small remnant that have had the truth. Now, in Jerusalem, there was thousands of people in the church there in the first century, but that was a special time. There had to be large swaths of people being saved in the first century for the church age to gain footing and to be spread throughout the Mediterranean world. But as time has gone by, we've had a great falling away from the truth, as we read over in 2 Timothy. Okay, that's the sign of the time. Let's read that again there. 2 Timothy 4, I believe it is. I didn't finish that from the last message. That's good for all of us to know. Here's how we can discern where we are along the timeline of the church age. 2 Timothy 3, excuse me. This is verse 1. This know also, that in the last days, perilous, and this means apostate or oppressive times shall come. I know everybody that was in the first service heard this already, so bear with me. Now, what do we see in this age? We see a massive amount of people pushing towards Christianity. But what kind of Christianity? Do we see them pushing towards the Christianity with the Christ of the Bible being the figurehead? No. We see a personal reformation movement taking place where the evangelists of this age are saying that, oh, you can use the Lord Jesus Christ as an example and then make yourself like him as time goes by, and that's allowing Jesus into your heart more and more and more and more. They've got 50 different ways of laying down that false doctrine, okay? But what does he say it's going to be like? He said that in the last days, apostate time shall come. That's what a perilous means here. For the men, now, these are all symptoms of a spiritless assembly, shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. What is blasphemy? Is blaspheming using the Lord's name in vain, like God damn it? No, that's not what blaspheming is. Okay. Now, if I tell you the truth of the word of God and you reject it for the lie of the devil, you're God damned. That's what that means. Okay. Now, people say that's what blaspheming is. That's not what blaspheming is. Or saying using the Lord Jesus Christ's name in some sort of joke or some rude capacity of some sort. That's not necessarily blasphemy. Could it be considered blasphemy? Yeah. It's representing the Lord Jesus Christ incorrectly. It's false doctrine. And plugging our Lord Jesus Christ into false doctrine. Or saying that you can use the Lord Jesus Christ as an example of how to live because he was the God's prophet to show us that we can be like him and be made fit for God's presence by the life that we live. Okay, that's blasphemy. That's not the Jesus of the Bible. The Jesus of the Bible stood in my stead in life and stood in my stead in death. And in him I have life. Okay? So, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, that's in league with the world and not separate from the world, without natural affection, not infection, but affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are of the good. Now, who are of the good? There's only one good God, okay? That's why our Lord, when he was met by the rich young ruler, and he said, good master, what good thing must I do to inherit the kingdom of heaven? And he said, why callest thou me good? There's only one that is good, that is God, okay? So, If we are of the good, we are of who? Of the Lord Jesus Christ. So his people, okay? They despise us and want to go forward with their false doctrine. I remember, you know, many a time telling people in the gym and here and there and everywhere about what I do. I'm a preacher, and they want to know what I preach, and I tell them what I preach, and I give them a little snippet of the gospel, and they say, oh, you know, no, you definitely have to, some accountability has to be made for your life. Why else would the Lord say, you got to do this and you got to do that? Then I explain, no, that's not what the Lord is saying. You know, he's preaching to Jews under law. Okay, and what does the law say? The law says do good. But what was the law for? And I bring him to Galatians and say the law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. So we see ourselves as we really are, sinners in need of a Savior, that we might trust Jesus Christ as our Savior. Oh, no, well, that, you know, that sounds interesting, but that's not for me. I'd rather go forward with what I believe, blah, 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 blah. So that's that form of blasphemy that we see in the world. So what do they think of me when I walk away? He's some nutbag out there preaching to a little congregation at 4101 River Road, and we don't know what the hell we're talking about. That's what they think. Okay. Otherwise, they'd be here or asking me for advice or something like that. Okay. So traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness. Now, you know, why were Paul's people rejected? Turn to Romans chapter 10. Verse 1, brethren, now I should ask this. Who were Paul's people? The Jews, the nation of Israel. Okay. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be what? Saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal for God. Okay? But not according to what? Knowledge. In the Greek, this is epigenosis, a full knowledge of the truth. Now, I have a zeal for God in that I love my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ because thank God I'm saved. Right? Okay? Otherwise, I'd be going to hell. Now, that's based upon the knowledge of the person and work of Christ in my behalf, the truth. So you can say it this way, because they have not a knowledge of the truth, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to do what? Establish their own righteousness. They have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Who is the righteousness of God? He's the righteousness of God. Okay, God had to prove his righteousness, so he sent Christ into the world, his firstborn. Well, it's actually technically a second-born son, okay? The God in flesh, Jesus Christ is God, to fulfill the law that we could not fulfill. So he's the proving of the righteousness of God, okay? So we're referencing Jesus Christ here. For Christ is what? The end of the law for what? Not our righteousness, but his. To what? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So to everyone that believeth. So going back over to 2 Timothy. We read in verse 5 here, having a form of godliness, so an appearance of godliness. So, you know, for instance, the Jews, they've got a temple, they've got the garb, they've got the office of the temple, that kind of thing. No different than the Roman Catholic Church. I use them as an example all the time. You go in the Vatican, they've got the beautiful building. I mean, you walk into that place. I don't know if you've ever been there. It is absolutely breathtaking. The building. Now, what's that building worth? No more than this one. Okay, this ain't St. Peter's. Okay, but God doesn't dwell in buildings made with hands. Okay, he dwells in you and me. So they got the building, a form of godliness, but not according to a knowledge of the truth. They've got the garb, a form of godliness, but not according to the knowledge of the truth. They've got the Latin, a form of godliness, but not according to the... Is Latin a widely spoken language anymore? No. They only do it because they say, oh, it's the closest to the language of God, you know, or whatever. But yet you go into, you know, Sistine Chapel, and they have a prayer service and a reading of the quote-unquote gospel every single day. And I say quote-unquote because I can't understand a damn word they say, because it's in Latin. And they have mostly American and Italian tourists there. So there should be one in Italian, and there should be one in English. If they want the word of God to go forth, But they're so high and mighty with their Latin speak and unge gaudi, blah, 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 you know, that and it echoes throughout. Of course, Latin's a beautiful language. It's one of the Romance languages. So the hall is very long, has tall vaulted ceilings and beautiful paintings. So it sounds so, you know, ceremonious when you go in there when they say it. Sounds great, but it's a form of godliness, but not according to the truth. Not a single soul leaves the Sistine Chapel saved, unless you understand Latin, and they happen to preach the gospel, and somebody by accident gets saved. Okay? But that's rare. So, traitors, petty, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power, or the Lord Jesus Christ, from such do what? Turn away. We're supposed to mark them who cause divisions and offenses that are contrary to what we've learned and do what? Avoid them. So if we subject ourselves to them, they could only do what? Confuse us. Now, do we want to go into the world whose king is the devil himself and be uninformed as far as the truth is concerned? No, we don't want to go into the world confused. We want to go into the world informed. That's why I always say before we pray, Lord, that you might anoint my mind, first of all, with the truth of the Word of God, so I can give the Word of God forth in truth as clearly as possible. I'm not the world's clearest speaker sometimes, as you've noticed today. Annoys the hell out of me. All right? And that we might grow in grace in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to do what? Grow up into a spiritual maturity. So I can send you out the door with some spiritual maturity so you're not deceived by the lie of the devil out in the world. Okay? Or tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Now, he says, for of this sort, this is verse 6, are they which creep into houses and leave captives silly women laden with sins, or really the sin, led away with diverse lusts. So, at-home Bible studies, that kind of thing, where everybody gives their own personal testimony, and we have testimonial meetings in churches. Those are the people's favorite meetings, by the way. They love to go to the testimonial meetings because they get a chance to come up and explain, oh, the Lord blessed me with this. Oh, the Lord blessed me with that. I remember my wife one time in the Mormon cult church, if you want to call it that, went to one time where they had said to someone that their washer and dryer went out. Of course, they had like 19 kids. I've got no problem with having a lot of kids, but they tend to use it as a badge of honor. And somehow somebody delivered a washer and dryer to the front porch. That's how it went, right? So they get up there and they say, the Lord Jesus Christ himself delivered a washer and dryer to my front porch. What does that have to do with anything but a brag fest? Now, can the Lord supply for our needs when we are in need? Sure. He says, seek first the gospel and seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the necessary things will be added unto you. But he didn't promise that when we pray, Lord, I wish I had a new washer and dryer. Lord, I wish I had a new car. If it were a Corvette, I wouldn't complain, that kind of thing, and have a Corvette show up in our front yard. It's not how it works. All right. So, ever learning and never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. Now, were the Jews in that position? Yeah. Is the Roman Catholic Church in that position? Yeah. Are millions of religious institutions in the world in that position? Yeah. The Roman Catholic Church has annals of the great priests and prophets of all of Romanism collected in their great archives and libraries, so much so that they have it basically in a nuclear-proof bunker underneath the Vatican or underneath St. Peter's or whatever it is. You don't get to go down into those tunnels unless you're one of the higher priests with the clearance. So they've got all the knowledge in the world, but they have no idea who the God is that they're worshiping or say they're worshiping. Okay? Now, does that mean that there's not a Roman Catholic person that's saved out there? Sure there is. Okay? So, if the gospel's presented, even if it's by an apostate pastor, the Lord can use the gospel to save the soul of that person. The shame is that they continue on at that church and they never grow. They're a believer, but they're taught all this, all that, and all the other thing, and they live their life in turmoil, constantly going to confession and saying, Lord, forgive me, or Father, can forgive me, I've sinned, blah, 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 and they never understand the liberty that they have. Okay? So they can't grow. So he says at verse 8, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds or reprobate minds, concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be made manifest unto all men, as theirs or Jannes and Jambres was also. But thou hast fully known my doctrine. Now, we wrote about the doctrine, or the word doctrine, in the bulletin this morning. Doctrine is teaching. You've fully known my doctrine. You've fully known Pastor Andre's doctrine. And if you've been around here long enough, you've known something about Brother Stewart's doctrine. I don't know if there's anybody here that heard Brother Stewart. Yeah, you guys have. Yep. Do we all have different preaching styles? Me, Brother Stewart, and yeah, some of you have been baptized by Brother Stewart, right? I was a little kid back then, so I don't remember anything that was going on. I was more interested in like He-Man and Transformers back then than anything. So all three of us men have had different preaching styles, okay? Different cadences in our voices, different life experiences and stuff, but we've all given forth the same exact word of God. So, you've known my doctrine, you've known the doctrine of the Lord. I received it of my Father, who received it of his Father, and we've all received it from our Father in heaven. Okay? So, he says here, where was I? 11, here we go. No, verse 10. Thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, purpose, my faith, long-suffering, charity or love of Christ, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord did what? Delivered me. Now, we're going to be persecuted until the end of our lives. And at the end of our lives, what's going to happen? Out of it all, our Lord's going to deliver us. Now, we have the pleasure of living here in the good old U.S. of A., and I kind of thought we might see some persecutions there for a while until the election results came through. Dictatorial governors don't like religious freedom because the state is supposed to be your sovereign. Okay, but what do we say as believers in Jesus Christ? God is our sovereign, right? And so should things have turned bad with Kamala and whoever came after her or whatever, and the voting system got so messed up that we'd never be able to have a constitutional conservative in the office again, there may have been a time where we see some religious pogroms against us. I don't know. But we've had the pleasure of enjoying very robust religious freedom here in this country, and I think it's going to go on for a while longer. All right. So, okay, where was I? Verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer what? Persecution. So if you're going to live godly in Christ Jesus, does that mean emulating the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, if you try to emulate the Lord Jesus Christ, you might have persecution for me. So I'm going to say you're an idiot. You're not going to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. So stop trying. You know. That said, is the law good and right and holy? Sure it is. Okay. We ought not to attempt to live our lives perfectly, because when we try to do that and emulate the Lord Jesus Christ, then we're going to be sorely disappointed with ourselves. Now, so we agree with the law. It's good and right and holy. But how to be perfect? I'm just like the Apostle Paul. I find not. Okay? So, he says here, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We're going to suffer persecution because of the doctrine that we believe in. And I mentioned a little bit of it earlier. I mean, it's not hard persecution, but I guarantee all those people that I've witnessed to over the years whom have never showed up here walked away from me thinking that I was a blithering idiot. You know? And so be it. If they hated me, they hated him first. So, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things with that which thou hast learned and have been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine. Doctrine, doctrine, doctrine. That's for teaching, for reproof. That's to show fault, that we might bring you back to doctrine. For correction, that's the showing of fault part. Okay? For instruction in the righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. Now, it says, truly furnished here, and that's as opposed to thoroughly furnished. And I've explained this before. Pastor Andre has done the same thing. If you take a room of your house, your living room, and you go down to the furniture store, and you say, I want to furnish this room. There's nothing in it, okay? And you walk through the store like Michael Jackson did when he was shopping. I saw a video of him one time, and he's got two guys with him with a big wallet or whatever. He's like, I like that, I like that, I like that, I like that. And he puts it in his little archive somewhere. Was that a good Michael Jackson voice? I think he's still alive, by the way. Have you seen the video of that guy, Dave? You can go down that rabbit hole later on. Okay. Anyway, he'd be crazy enough to still be alive. So if you just pick out whatever you want willy-nilly in there because it suited your eye at the time and you bring it back in your house, is it going to make for a very well-furnished room? Oh, it might be thoroughly furnished all right, but it's going to be thoroughly furnished to the hilt, to the place where it's absolutely ugly and look better when it was empty. Okay? But to have a truly furnished room is a place for everything and everything in its place. I remember my grandpa always telling me that. I hear those words in my dreams. He was in the Marine Corps, and he's always telling me there's a place for everything and everything in its place. And he was absolutely right. And if you went to deer camp with him, he always set the camp up. Everything had its place. And if you didn't put something back in its place, he was on you like white on rice, you know. But taught us some good lessons. I had this habit when I was a little kid of saying I know to everything that everybody told me. And my grandpa took me shooting one time. I think it was the first time I went shooting. I can't remember. And he was showing me the 22. It was a single shot 22, a little Harrington Richardson or something like that. And he was showing me the action and everything. And I told him, I know. And he's like, what'd you tell me? And I was like, okay, I see. I was about to get my butt kicked. And of course, he explained to me everything about how, you know, the business end of the rifle and everything. And then we went out in the woods and we shot a squirrel and he had to show me the body of the squirrel. This is what a bullet does. Which, by the way, is a good lesson for you and your children if you want to teach them how to shoot. Go kill something with it. Okay? That way they know what happens at the business end of a rifle. Okay? Of course, my dad was taught not to touch a hot plate on the stove by my grandpa putting his feet on the hot plate on the stove and then setting him back on the ground. So, showed him that it was hot. It worked. Okay. Missed my grandpa. He's a pretty good guy. Okay, so... he says, continue thou. We were through all that already. Okay. For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be through perfect or complete, truly furnished unto all good works. So if you're truly or properly furnished, you've been taught all the various doctrines of the Bible. Okay. You have a good understanding of the fundamentals of the faith. Okay. The deeper things in the Word of God, though they may seem confusing to some of you sometimes when you hear them from the pulpit, don't worry about that. The understanding of those things will come in time. The reason why you don't understand them now or may not understand them now is because the Lord knows that you're not ready for them yet. So you got to grow up a little bit in certain things before you get the keys to understanding for some of the deeper things of the Bible. Now, I remember years went by, and some of the things Pastor Andre taught just right over my head. I just couldn't put them together. I didn't worry about it. I said, amen. I just took it in as I could. And then later on, the understanding of those doctrines became clear to me as I grew up in the things. Okay? So it takes some time sometimes. But when we have all the fundamentals of the faith in place, okay, then we're not tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. There's always a place to sit. Everything has a place and everything's in its place. Then we're fit for the service of the Lord, okay, unto all good works. Now, we're not talking about works of righteousness, because how many works of righteousness can we do? None that are acceptable to God, okay? But we're talking about the good works the Lord's given us to do as the church. Go into all the world and do what? Preach the gospel, of which we all have a part in. So he says, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living and the dead, the quick and the dead, at his appearing and at his kingdom, do what? Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season, when there's a need, when there's not a need. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering or patience, and doctrine. Doctrine, doctrine, doctrine. Okay? We're built up in the truth by doctrine, and the doctrine of the Word of God divides us from the world. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves having teachers having itching ears. So, tell me what I want to hear, big boy, you know, like that. Big boy meaning like a lover, you know. Okay. That was like an old way of, cartoonish way of saying things, but I'm trying to be PG here, okay? So a maid wants to be whispered sweet nothings by her lover, okay? That's how man approaches God. Tell me how I can be like the Lord Jesus Christ so I can be as esteemed and mighty and righteous as Christ is, so people will look at me and say, that wonderful Rabbi Griffin wouldn't bend the hair on a cat, you know. But yet we look at our lives, we're honest with ourselves, what are we? We're sinners undone, right? So what do? They put people in the pulpit that will tell them that they're good because that's what they want. So they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall be turned away, turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned to what? Fables. Okay? What's a fable? It's a fiction. Okay? But watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. And so for us to operate faithfully in the truth of the word of God, there's reserved for you and for me a crown of righteousness in heaven. Now, going back to Matthew chapter 16. Now that I've completely deviated from the lesson plan again. He says in verse 6, Jesus said unto them, this is Matthew 16, 6, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, is it because we have not taken no bread? Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand, or still understand, that's what yet means, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up. Of course, they had 12 remaining, one for each of them, full of the fragments that were left over. Neither of the 7 loaves of the 4,000, how many baskets you took up. There were 7 left there. So does the Lord have the ability to provide for their carnal needs? Sure he does. How is it that you do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Now, turn with me to Matthew chapter 22. Now, we covered the doctrine of the Pharisees for the last few weeks, kind of spottily, but we got it covered. The doctrine of the Pharisees was self-righteousness, okay, lust of the flesh. The doctrine of the Sadducees is the lust of the eyes. Now in verse 23 here it says, the same day came to him the Sadducees, which say that there is no resurrection, and asked him, saying, Master, Moses said, if a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were with us 7 brethren, and the first, when he had married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, that is, no child, left his wife to his brother. Likewise, the second also, and the third unto the seventh. And the last of all the women died there. The last of all the woman died also. Wherefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall they be of the 7? For they all had her. Sounds like a woman to avoid, okay? Jesus answered and said unto them, you do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, ye have not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the who? But of the living. Okay. So the Sadducees were ignorant of spiritual truth because they didn't believe in it. They wanted the outward trappings of Judaism or their religious positions there. Okay. Now turn with me to Mark chapter 8. Oh, let's see here. Let me find my spot. Now we have the words of our Lord recorded by the 4 different gospel writers. They may have been all at the same place hearing the words of our Lord, but not all of the words of our Lord were recorded verbatim by each one of the writers. So we have to go to the various Gospels to find the complete story. When our Lord was repeating to the disciples that Matthew recorded, we have the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of the Sadducees. Mark wrote about the leaven of Herod. Okay, three measures of meal, right? The leaven of the Pharisees, the leaven of the Sadducees, and the leaven of Herod, until the whole was leavened. So he's going to deal with the leaven of Herod here. Okay, and so he says in verse 10, and straightway he entered into the ship with his disciples and came unto the parts of Dalmanutha. And the Pharisees came forth and began to question him, seeking of him a sign from heaven, tempting him. Okay, so the same circumstance. And he sighed deeply in his spirit and said, why doth this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you, there shall no sign be given it. Given unto this generation. Of course, in other parts of the Gospels, we see the sign of the of Jonah and the great fish shall be given unto them, but it's not mentioned here. And he left them, and entering into the ship, again departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. And he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. Now, Herod was the king of Judea. He was a usurper king, a half-Jew. And sort of through a series of events put in place by the Roman Empire. So he was a Roman sympathizer. And he answered to the Roman Empire. And so Herod was a Edomite, I believe it was. I have to go back and look that up, but I think he was an Edomite. And he was interested in establishing himself a dynasty. So we have the Herodian dynasty, and anywhere in the scriptures where we read Herod, we could be talking about one of four Herods. Okay, the first one was Herod the Great. Now, as we go on here, I'll explain. So he says here, and they reason among themselves, saying, is it because we have no bread? And when Jesus knew it, he said unto them, why reason ye? Because ye have no bread. Perceive ye not yet, neither understand. Have ye your hearts yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not, and having ears, hear ye not, and do ye not remember when I break the five loaves among 5,000, and how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? They say unto him, 12. And then he speaks of the seven baskets among the 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments ye took up? And they said, 7. And he said unto them, how is it that ye do not understand? And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of town. And when he had spit in his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and he said, I see a man as trees walking. Okay, so this is when our Lord, and I'm out of time. This is when our Lord preached the gospel in type, saying, go down to the pool of Siloam and wash, and he came back and saw a man like trees walking. I'm trying to go into the definition of the leaven of the Herodians, but it's going to take me another 20 minutes to do so because I sidestepped for a while there. So we're going to quit here, and next week we'll go into the doctrine of the Herodians. All right, let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. We thank you that these three different types of leaven, or the doctrine of the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the Herodians, are laid out for us so that we might have an understanding of what the various types of leaven are in the world, that is, the false doctrines that are not of our Lord, so we might avoid them. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray.